day, mate.
Oh, Stephen.
Yes.
We just lost 12% of our audience.
Is 12% of our audience in Australia?
It's about 10 to 12% of the Australians are showing up. Well, not for this episode, because that accent, terrible. In fact, if you wouldn't have said good day, I don't know what I would have thought it was. So please don't do that anymore.
Maybe I just bleep it in the edit, you know?
They'll never know what you said.
They'll never know. Well, today we are talking about the disappearance of Harold Holt, the 17th Prime Minister of Australia. But before we get to that fateful day, we need to talk a little bit about the man himself.
Raised in Melbourne, Harold Holt studied law and was a practicing attorney before entering the political sphere. He was voted into Parliament at the age of 27 and became a government minister at the age of 31. It's quite young.
Yeah.
In 1966, he became Prime Minister following the resignation of Robert Menzies. I mean, to be fair, though, probably in 1966, 27 was like 54.
Mm.
So, you know.
I don't think life expectancy has expanded that much since the 60s, but we'll just go with it.
I think it has. We could do an episode about life expectancy if you want.
Like his predecessor, Holt refused a personal security detail. He considered this to be alienating to the public. You know, he wanted to be a man of the people.
Man of the people.
Man of the people. Mm-hmm. However, two incidents in 1966 changed his mind. The first was when a sniper shot shattered a window in his office. It took a second incident after that, but it did.
Everyone gets one, you know?
It's a freebie.
It's fine. It's fine.
An assassination attempt was made on the opposing party leader, someone named Arthur Calwell. After this, Holt traveled with a single bodyguard for his official duties, but refused any protection while on holiday, regarding it as a violation of his privacy.
Well, for years before his disappearance, Holt was a man drawn to the sea. He had several beach homes, loved spearfishing, an activity he participated in all year round, thanks to a vast collection of wetsuits.
He was hardcore about it. Mm-hmm. According to his companions, Holt had a, quote, incredible power of endurance underwater, and he would reportedly practice holding his breath while in meetings. Despite this ability to hold his breath longer than the average podcaster, he was not a strong swimmer.
Is this like a power move, do you think?
I had that thought of, like, if someone's across the table from you and they're not breathing, it's like,
Basically, like, he not only beats you, but he cuts off the blood supply to your head. You know what I mean? And then he can just get whatever he needs done. That is international diplomacy at best. It is worth remembering this guy's not a businessman. He was the prime minister. You know what I mean? Who's he doing this with?
Presidents.
Who's he doing this with? Incredible. Holt's love of the water made those around him nervous. In May of 1967, so while he's prime minister, Holt nearly drowned off of Savoy Beach in Victoria. He was diving with a small group when he suddenly became distressed. He had to be pulled from the water, and after being back on the beach, he ejected a large amount of seawater from his body.
Holt blamed a leaky snorkel and waved off the event, but on August 5th, 1967, which was his 59th birthday, another incident occurred.
That's 3 months later.
Yeah, 3 months. After trying to land a large fish for about 25 minutes, he had to cut it loose due to extreme shortness of breath.
These events are obviously concerning to read about in hindsight, and Holt's health had a cloud over it. His brother had died at the age of 57, his father at 59, so on his 59th birthday when he couldn't breathe, not good.
Holt had survived a pretty scary car accident in 1955, in which his driver was killed. And in 1967, this year we're talking about, he had been prescribed painkillers and physical therapy for an old football shoulder injury that didn't heal correctly.
With all that preamble, let's get into Holt's disappearance after this break.
This episode of Ungenius is brought to you by Squarespace. Say that you have some great figure in history that you want to build a website about. You're going to have a blog, a podcast, photo gallery. You do it all in Squarespace because they have everything you need all in one place, all on your terms. You start with a completely personalized website thanks to their new guided design system, Squarespace Blueprint. Choose some professionally curated layout and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, tailored to your brand or business and optimized for every device. And then, of course, after you launch it, you want other fans of this famous person in history to find you. So Squarespace has integrated optimized SEO tools so you show up more often and to more people and grow the way you want. And you can sell content. Squarespace has all the tools you need to sell exclusive content on your site, biting a paywall, or selling content or courses. You can sell files for your customers to download, like PDFs, music, or ebooks. And checkout is seamless, except credit cards, PayPal and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, you can offer your customers the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. I've been building stuff on Squarespace for years, and one day, if I build a website in honor of Mike Hurley, for say, I would go use Squarespace. And how I would get started is by going to squarespace.com/ungenius to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. At squarespace.com/ungenius, when you decide to sign up, you'll get 10% off your first purchase. And to show your support for this, your favorite podcast, our thanks to Squarespace for their support of Ungenius and all of Relay.
The day Holt disappeared was Sunday, December 17th, 1967. He was at his beach house near Savoy Beach, and over the weekend, he had visited with neighbors, including a couple that, well, Ellie was engaged in an affair with the wife of the couple.
Maybe that's why he didn't want that bodyguard around on holiday?
Very possible, actually.
This is actually a whole part of this man that we're just basically brushing aside, but he had a history here. We'll leave it there. That day, he had made some phone calls. He had driven to the general store for some supplies and to get the newspapers, which really puts this story into history, right? It's like, I had to drive to the store to get the news. About 11:15 on the morning in question, Holt and four others went down to the water to see a boat that was scheduled to go by. After that, he suggested a swim, despite the sea being rough that day.
Upon entering the water, Holt and Alan Stewart, a family friend on the trip, detected a strong undertow, and Holt started being swept out to sea. Mm. He was unable to return to shore, didn't cry out for help, or try to wave down any help either.
Stewart made it back to the shore and went for help, going to a nearby Australian Army training facility, but it was mostly empty given that it was a weekend. The police were then contacted, and a massive search and rescue operation began.
Divers found the waters to be too rough for amateurs to safely search in, but by the afternoon, helicopters, watercraft, and police divers were on site. By the end of the day, nearly 200 people were involved, and the number increasing to almost 250 the next day.
The search went on for a couple of days, with no one spotting the Prime Minister. By Wednesday the 20th, most of the personnel had been withdrawn from the search, and the search was officially called off on January 5th, 1968, so a few weeks later. Diving team leader Lieutenant Commander Phil Hawk later said that, quote, any chance of finding the Prime Minister was lost by Sunday night.
Memorial service was held on the 22nd of December with 2,000 people nearly attending, with many thousands more outside the church spilling along the streets.
There's never really been any doubt that Holt drowned that day, but the exact reasons are unclear. It could have been the riptide. Both of these men were experienced in the sea and realized that was happening, or maybe it was one of his health issues, or maybe it was a combination of both. There's also the possibility he was attacked by a shark or some other creature in the water.
Big jellyfish.
Huge jellyfish. Whatever happened, mm-hmm. It seems to have been an accident, not an act of murder or some sort of other, you know, bad news situation.
There have been some people that have suggested that Holt went into the water that day, hoping to take his own life. They suggest that the weight of his political career or the weight of the multiple affairs that he was engaged in was crashing down on him. To be clear, there's no evidence of this. It is speculation, and the theory has been mostly forgotten about.
Maybe he was a Dave Matthews fan and was worried about what was going to happen in Chicago with the bus.
Possibly.
His body was never recovered, which, I didn't know this, is actually not super uncommon in situations like this. If you get swept out to sea, it's
kind of makes sense though, right?
It does. And there's a whole thing about like what happens to your body in the ocean after a while. It's not good, but you don't last very long.
On the first anniversary of Holt's death, a commemorative plaque was bolted to a reef at Cheviot Beach, about 50 feet underwater, with monuments also placed on the cliff above.
In 1969, his widow was invited to Los Angeles to launch the USS Harold E. Holt, one of the only of a handful of U.S. Navy ships named after foreign leaders.
That's interesting. Do you think you won that in like a breath-holding competition?
With the Navy? Yeah, probably.
Maybe with like the Navy commander or something.
Maybe.
That same year, the Harold Holt Memorial Swimming Center in Melbourne was dedicated in his honor. I like that so many people. He must have, I know he said it and like, it was obviously a love it. He clearly loved the water because everybody's just doing water tributes to him, you know?
Yeah.
I did some digging, by the way, on the last episode. 6.4% of our audience was Australian.
Okay.
I'm intrigued to see what happens to this episode and then the following one.
I apologize to the great people of Australia for my terrible accent. Our thanks to Nathan for sending this topic in. If you want to learn more about Harold Holt and his disappearance, check out the links in the show notes at relay.fm/ungenius/219. This is also September. In September, those of us here at Relay raise money for St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Go learn more about that at stjude.org/relay. If you have your own Wikipedia topic you want to send in, there's a feedback form at the website and in the show notes as well. And Mike, until next time we go swimming off the shore of Australia, say goodbye.
See you later, mate.
Bye, y'all.